Tony, I'm just going to bring you in. Just one of the things that I did also get from your book, I've talked about Pet's Testimony and Journey before, but I did say actually two-ness. There was this whole concept of two-ness, which I think we've sort of skirted around in terms of sort of thinking about comparative approaches. But just tell us a little bit more about that concept, and because all your chapters are structured in that way. And I think that's also a useful pedagogical device in the classroom.
Yes, I think it is sort of helpful in that we remember some migrant groups and some particular journeys and not others, and to think of, you know, when does a group become a sort of model group? So the Huguenots are a good example, not particularly liked as French people, even though they're not Catholics, but they're regarded today as the model migrant group, that they were grateful, they contributed, and then they sort of melted into the general community. And if all that's left of them is a surname, then that's, you know, that's, everyone can live with that difference. And so why have they become idealized and other groups have been forgotten? Again, East European Jews, to some extent, Jews that came in the 1930s, not necessarily welcomed at the time, though, you know, always there were those that supported them. And we shouldn't forget those supporters and organizations, but now again regarded as the ideal group. And they're always tend to be in the past and not those that are coming now, because we don't have to worry about those in the past coming again. But even within groups, there is a sort of, you know, behavior that's regarded as good and behavior not good. And why is it that we remember some stories and not others? And even with the, you know, since I wrote The Battle of Britishness, and having sort of outlined the sort of the mythology developing with the Windrush, it's interesting that, you know, there's now a sort of epilogue to that, that whilst I was talking about the stories we don't tell, particularly those of those, the majority of those that came before 1951 that came from West Africa and not from the Caribbean, but even those that came from the Caribbean, you know, because again of sort of the importance of paperwork and the bureaucratic abuse of that, have become sort of not just demonized, but deported and left very, very marginal, so that even our ideal groups can be subject to that sort of two-ness, because it's, whilst, you know, it can create creativity, and we look at the sort of migrant contribution, which is way out of proportion in terms of art and culture and many other areas, and that, you know, some of that comes out of that marginality and need to sort of work between the cracks, but it also causes tensions and problems. So until we sort of regard not us and them, but a wider whole, which is, we've mentioned Paul Gilroy and his sort of concept of planetary humanism, and I think his wonderful example of, you know, Star Trek and the US Enterprise, you know, as the sort of the ideal of humanity. Including non-humans like Spock or mixed origin like Spock, you know, being part of this planet intergalactic whole, that we need to have that sense of the global, and that within the national there's always going to be that exclusive element, not totally exclusive, where that two-ness comes in. So it's not against two-ness because it creates a space for ingenuity, but it can also be a damaging one. And I'm trying to think of his name, a very prominent Black British actor who's recently written a memoir of the mental health issues that he's faced and his father faced, extreme mental health issue, which was, you know, part, you know, the psychiatric problems of migrants, particularly those who have faced very blatant racism, should not be marginalized. So it's, you know, sometimes theorists sort of idealize the state of non-belonging, but it can come at a horrible price as well. So I think two-ness is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can often be exclusive and either blatantly or indirectly.